Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, as an environmental scientist, I've had the honor of doing research all across this great country of ours. And you see, I've had the opportunity to look at all these animal babies. The words cute and cuddly, yeah, they all come in, and they are. But there's so much more about them. So I thought I'd share on Animal Babies Part 1, because, hey, there are so many animal babies out there. I thought that I would tell you a couple of ones that are just like some of my favorites. So let's start with the good old wolf pups. Well, when I was doing my research on wolves in Minnesota, we're up near the Canadian border, because obviously that's where Minnesota is, and we're up there along the boundary waters, and we're tracking the wolves, and we get to one of the birthing dens. And a birthing den is obviously just like it sounds. The mother is going to give birth here, and because of the afterbirth smell, they will actually then take the pups, pick them up, and they carry them the way you see on television behind an ape, behind the back of their neck, if you don't know. And they carry them to a second den that's already been dug out for them. And they're there. And when we were checking out the secondary den, you see all these little twigs, like I'm saying tiny little sticks. And they have all these like minute little markings. But when you look, they are teeth markings. And what they are is, well, some of you go to, and I'll just use a big brand store there, go to Petco to buy your products. Well, these were pup toys. They would play with the sticks and throw them about. You see, you know, some of you go buy expensive toys, and then some of you just go get a stick in the backyard, and you throw it, and your dog gets it. So it doesn't matter whether it's a $400 whatever or a stick. Your dog still, so the pup toys are something that they actually use. Really, I mean, it's almost like you began this little search going, where could they be? Where? And then you'd find one and you could say to the other scientists, hey, look here, look, really cool. And one of the other neat things that had happened with the wolf research, one night we were doing a howling study to go locate a pack we were working with. And a howling study is just like it sounds. You're going to howl, and the pack is going to howl back in defense of their territory. Well, a surprise came to us one evening. We go out and do the howling study. We're calling, and all of a sudden you hear a young, and you know this, you could always hear the difference between an adult voice and a child's voice. You could hear the same thing, an adult wolf and a yearling, the difference in the pitch of their voice. So who's calling back? It's a yearling. The pack must have been out hunting somewhere, and a yearling's just calling. You're going, well, why is this wolf calling on its own? And then after like the second time it howled, you ever hear a little puppy try to bark the first time, and it's just this little yelp? All of a sudden, you start to hear this tiny, tiny, high-pitched voice inside of there, and it was the pup. So it was a yearling and a pup. And think about if you're a family and you're going to go to the movies without your children, it's date night or whatever, you're going to hire a babysitter. That yearling was the babysitter for that pup. It was absolutely, I'm not exaggerating because I'm in the studio here and I'm excited as I'm telling this story. It was absolutely one of the coolest things that I ever heard in nature. And what we did was we didn't want to put any emotional stress on that yearling, because the pup just didn't have a clue what was going on. So we stopped our study to locate the pack that night. Went back other nights and obviously to locate where the pack was. But that was just one of the coolest things. So now let's go to my back part of my property. And on my property here, I have beautiful perennial gardens that I've developed over many years. And one year I'm working out, and in the back there's two specific perennial gardens in the back. And I'm working in one, and at the corner of my eye, I see a hen, a female turkey there. And I'm like, pay her no attention whatsoever, because I figure if I pay her attention, then all of a sudden, she's just going to get up and move off and be gone. So I just let her do what she's doing. And I hear her call, and part of my graduate research was on turkey vocalization. In other words, I talk turkey. And I listened to this call, and just for whatever reason, and it kills me now, but I let that call just go. It was this little melodic note, and I just let it go. And I knew, because I know now, exactly what it was. So after a while, I'm working, and I just said, let me go get my camera, because I take photos of every animal, anything, any wildlife. It doesn't matter, waterfalls. I'm going to take photos of it. I said, let me just step out here. And I step out, and she does that little call again, but a little harsher. You could just hear it in her voice. And all of a sudden, she pops up, and out of the perennial garden pops up 12 poults. Poults are baby turkeys, because some of you know the word poultry, and you're thinking about chicken and turkey and all that. Well, that's where the word comes from. So all the poults, she goes scurrying off through the garden into the next, there's a little wall, not a large wall at all. She goes scurrying over it, and I didn't pressure them, and I let the little poults, like one at a time, go boop and pop over it, pop over it, and pop over it. And it was so neat. Just so you know that the hen never uses that melodic note unless she is talking to poults. And it got past me, and to this day, I'm going, man, had I known, again, you know, the Monday morning quarterback is always easy. Now, here's a really cool poult fact. When they are born, they are insectivorous, meaning they just eat insects. That's why they are born in the spring when insects are out. So there's a real reason why animals are born at specific times. Their job is to put on as much weight as they possibly can to grow as quick as they can, and the protein from the insects is going to do this. As they get a little larger, they go from being insectivorous to becoming an herbivore, and then they only eat plants. Like, how cool is your body system where you go, okay, today we're eating insects, but guess what? Tomorrow, I'm at the size I'm supposed to be. Tomorrow I go to plants. That's really cool. So now I thought I'd take you on my journey for animal babies. I would take you out to Yellowstone National Park. If you have not been there, I'm going to tell you right now, you may not be a nature person, but this is a bucket list item. And for me, it wasn't bucket list because with all my research that I've done out there on grizzly bears and, you know, non-native plant species in Idaho and all, every summer, Yellowstone was my playland. In other words, I'd be doing my research. I'd be out in Yellowstone. And when I'm out in Yellowstone, I'd be looking at absolutely every animal, all the geothermal features, not just when I say geothermal, but there's some great waterfalls, so there's water features there as well. And I'd have my fly rod in my hand, and I am in heaven on earth, as you might say. Well, one of the animals I just think are so cool are buffalo. And the real term for that, and you can listen to a show I did previously, but don't go now. You need to listen to this animal, babies. I did one on bison, because they truly are bison out there. Well, it's the bison calves that I want to speak about. They are, like, it's almost like you just take this monstrous buffalo, which is the size of a small car, literally, weighs as much as the small car, and just shrink them down. And when you shrink them down, they are it's like the mini-me. This is the mini bison. And the calves look just like that. One of the things you need to know about them is those cows, the bison cows, are so protective of those calves. And I've seen this so many times, and I've shared this a few times on my shows. You get out to Yellowstone, and there are all these signs. The animals are wild. Treat them as wild animals. And you will see people, and I am not exaggerating, you will see people get 10 feet from a bison herd because they want to have somebody take a picture of them with all the bison in the background. Well, every year, someone in America gets killed by a bison because, hey, if you're not respecting the space a wild animal needs, then you're putting yourself in jeopardy. And some people are like picking up, I'm not joking, picking up like a piece of grass and they're holding it out for the bison calf. And they're expecting a bison calf. They're expecting it's like on a farm and then there's some animal in a corral and you're going to feed. This is their expectation. So we need to be safe when we are around these animals. And they actually, at Yellowstone, they actually hand out a little, it's a yellow pamphlet because I've got one. And it says, here's the speed that a human runs. Here's the speed that a buffalo runs. Can you outrun them? And the answer is obviously no. And it's just to put a picture in your mind. But those calves, the mini-me's, are so cool. So now let's move along. And again, animal babies, I'm sure in part two, I'm going to talk about grizzly bear babies because I've done research on grizzly bears. But growing up in the East, and then obviously all across our country, I've seen them, are black bear cubs. And when I started the show by saying cute and cuddly, they are cute, cuddly, playful, but wild. And that's something we need to know. And one of the most dangerous situations you could be in the wild is if you ever get in between the sow and her cubs. The sow is the female. And I'm going to let you know that there was one time, and I'm going back 20 years ago with my good buddy, Dr. Bob, and a bunch of our other friends. We are out backpacking. We're cutting through a trail. We were in the Laurel Sock Trail out in Pennsylvania. And I remember that track because we've always done the whole East Coast here growing up. And we're hiking along and we see a sow and her two cubs. And they're in front of us. And the two cubs go running out a tree. And now they're in a tree right next to the trail. And there's just thick brush on both sides. And the sow is standing about 50 feet off on the, I guess on the left side, because I'm looking at it. I have this picture in my mind right now. And then the sow actually moved to about 100 feet away. And the two cubs are there. So we're having this debate. So what do we do? Do we just turn around? Do we wait? Do we wait them out? And the cubs are petrified. And they're just clinging. They're up there and they're clinging on going, what? Like, because maybe the first time they were small. Maybe the first time they saw humans, they're looking down going, what the heck are these creatures? And what are they doing? And what kind of language are they speaking? And they were just like frozen up there, but staring down at you, like a scared child. I guess put a picture in your mind. And we said, okay, let's just walk very slowly, quietly past the tree. And if the sow makes any movement at all or makes any sound, because sometimes they'll just snap their jaw a little bit to let you know that they're ticked off. And we just quietly walked past them. Didn't even turn around to wait for the cubs to go down because that was the respect we had in the wild. And I'll give you another example. We're out filming Joey B TV early on when we had our small cameras because now we got the big old TV cameras. And we're out and we're on a trail looking to film black bear. And all of a sudden, we're near like the edge of a, I can't call it the side of a mountain, but it was a steep, steep incline. And all of a sudden, I see, and don't know it's a sow, I see a bear, sees us, and the bear, and I'm saying, you know, like if you ran down something, you started to tumble and making all this noise, running down there. And while she's running down, one of the cameramen just taps me on the shoulder and says, you know, pointing with his finger without saying a word, look, and we're watching two cubs scurry up a tree. So the sow decided, instead of defending for whatever reason, decided that she was going to flee and she ran down. So we got a great camera of her just running and sort of tumbling down this incline. And then from there, we just panned up and there were the two cubs in the tree, the same stare. Probably the first time, because it was early spring again, different year, different place, and the same stare. So I know that stare very well. So we just got the footage we needed, and then we just backed ourselves out and went around onto another trail. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, I am going to talk about the next animal, who is either, the baby is either called a pup, a kit, or a cub. Most people call them pups, and they are groundhogs. Hey, Groundhog Day. And it's funny, I know very few movies. My friends, my family will talk about movies. Some of them will even talk about like TV shows, so that I don't watch much unless it's like it's a nature show or something like that. And they'll be talking about shows or movies that have been out for 10 years, 20 years, and I have no clue. But I know a little bit about Groundhog Day. And I'm going to give you my Groundhog Day about me, Joey B. I live in a beautiful old historic home. And when I first moved in, there used to be, and I know used to, because it wasn't there when I moved in, there used to be a huge oak tree, literally right next to the foundation of my home. And the way I know that is, there was a pit from where the roots were there. It was just still there. Dug into the pit, the groundhogs had dug a burrow there. Didn't know there was groundhogs until the first day that I'm there. I moved in, and I look out on my front lawn, and there are three baby groundhogs and mommy groundhog. And the baby groundhogs were just, think about the size of your hand. They were just a little bit larger than that. And they're all out there feeding. So once again, camera, click, 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 click. I'm inside, by the way, shooting through the window. Don't want to disturb them. And I just said, hey, they've got to see people because of where they live. I started to open a door and phew, mom runs and you got three little babies, burrow in. And I would watch them day after day on my front lawn. Lawn's huge, big property. And I'm watching them. And then I'm watching them specifically with my binoculars. And there was clover growing on the front lawn. And they were eating the clover in the lawn. So as time would go on, I would, and this is not an exaggeration, you got to cut the grass about every once a week, springtimes, you know, every 5 or 6 days, depending on how much rain you're getting, temperatures and all that. I would actually wait for the groundhog family, for all these pups to go out there with mom. I would wait for them to feed on the clover before I would go cut the lawn. And it was just really neat. And I had clover in my backyard, but for whatever reason, and again, I believe it was the proximity to their burrow. And that was the reason why they fed, because my back piece of my property has huge lawns and perennial gardens, as I mentioned, perennial gardens and all that. I even have perennial gardens in the front too. They weren't interested in that. But I will let you know this. When they grow up, groundhogs are no longer interested in that clover. They'll still eat some. But my purple coneflower, as adults, I know this sure is animal babies, but I'm letting you know that my favorite flower, they will come and mow down. So me and groundhogs, we got a little battle going on, but I'm going to let you know the pups or kits or cubs or lions or tigers or bears, but the cubs, kids, cubs, whatever you want to call them, they are really, really animal babies that are cute and cuddly. Now, I thought I'd give you another really cool animal that we don't typically think about as cute and cuddly, and they are kestrels. And some of you are going, kestrels? Never heard of it. Kestrels are the smallest bird of prey. They have a slate blue color to their feathers. Really, really beautiful bird. And the way that you can find a kestrel, you're driving along, and I've often described it this way if I'm speaking in schools, or I'm speaking to Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or whatever, wherever I'm speaking, actually even adult and bird clubs and all. And you'll be driving down the road and you will actually see, it's like the kestrel has some earbuds in and they're listening to music, because you'll see a bird sort of bopping its head and bopping its tail, like doom, doom, doom. Yeah, hopefully it's not that type of music, because I'm a country boy and I like country music. But anyway, and you'll see it and you can say, hey, kestrel, right away. Well, I was doing a research project on nesting kestrels to see if we can increase the numbers and where exactly we could get the numbers. We found out the ecotone, the boundary between, that's what ecotone means, it's the boundary between two ecosystems, the forest and the field, because they could be safe in the forest, in their trees, and it was right on the edge. I mean, that's where most of the nests were. And then they could feed inside the fields. And this is why farmers love them, because their favorite foods happens to be grasshoppers. Grasshoppers eat plants. Farmers don't want anything eating their plants. They want kestrels. So they were so happy that we would, you know, we'd chat with them, put up the boxes. But now let's go to the babies, the hatchlings. Now, here's a really cool thing about birds. Their only natural protection is to fly. So they have to be able to fly very quickly. And if you have like a little nest somewhere by your property in the springtime, or you put up a little birdhouse, and chart the progress of when they're born to when they fledge. Fledge means they fly for the first time. And a kestrel will go from it just came out of the egg, and that's a hatchling, to a fledgling in 28 days. So you think about this. That baby kestrel is 28 days old and is going to fly for the first time. So as we're tracking the progress of all these, and we're going to band these birds as well. So one of us has to go up on a ladder, a little bag, and it's just a bag to protect the birds as we take them down and just to sort of calm them down. And most times, whatever scientist goes up on that ladder may get pelted by mommy and daddy trying to dive bomb your head. And let me tell you, these are birds of prey with huge, sharp talons. Well, we take them down, and we are down, and I am actually holding one of the fledglings. And just like any baby, you could imagine that they are very, very much afraid. Well, one of the fledglings, because he was about to fly, as we're banding him, so I'm holding, another scientist is banding, he takes two of his three talons, and he puts them like, think about like ear piercing. This was a hand piercing. He went through the skin of my hand, and I'm just like, just please, please just band them quickly. We got to pull them out, put them back in a bag, put them back up in a nest or in a nesting box. And then we sit there for hours and hours. You're just waiting. But again, this is the great thing about nature. You're just sitting there waiting, going, is he going to fledge today? Is he going to fledge it? And all of a sudden, boom. And he's off. And you're like, yes, it's almost like, be free, my children, be free. It's just like one of the cooler things to see in nature, and definitely one of the greatest, cute, cuddly, playful, as I spoke before about all these animals. It is so great to be out in nature and see all this. And I've said this often, viewing nature is free. So whether you live in the city and just can get to your city park or county park, or just get out truly on the trail in nature, get out and view it. It is so cool. So this is the end of Animal Babies Part 1, but I can't wait to record Part 2. Until next time, enjoy life's adventure.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.